Join Sam and Will as they bring the Bible's stories to life through historical evidence and try not to feel out of place in a car garage, all while bringing you Under the Hood.
Welcome to Under the Hood. I'm your host, Will. I'm here alongside Sam. Sam, what are we talking about today?
Today we're going to be talking about something that might make skeptics a little mad because they always want to say that science is on their side. And today we're going to be talking about scientific proof that shows that raising up children with religious foundations is scientifically proven to be beneficial for children. And as a society, we should get more serious about doing it.
So where do we start?
Well, if you go throughout history, you recognize that the fate of countries, nations, kingdoms always hinges on what you're doing for children. And I think both us, you know, we've worked with kids. We've seen that in this generation and recent generations, the mental health, the well-being, the perspective of younger generations seems to be suffering. And I think our whole nation would come to this and say that we agree. But I would argue that part of that is because we've walked away from God, it has had an impact on our children. And so today's episode, we're going to be talking about what does science show that religion does for children. But back to the philosophic point, like Abraham Lincoln, I'm just going to give you some quotes because these are just true. The philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next.
Hmm.
So you want to know how your society is going to turn out. Look at what the kids are being taught. Like, that's not a new concept. Aristotle says this: all who have meditated on the art of governing mankind have been convinced that the fate of empires depends on the education of the youth. Vladimir Lenin, who launched communist revolution in the Soviet Union, said, give us the child for 8 years and it, I love how he calls the child it will be a Bolshevik forever. Give me 4 years to teach the children and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. And so then you have to ask the question, okay, so what are our kids learning? If we're shaping them for the future, what are our kids learning and what's that going to do for them? And so I would say that we're teaching them atheistic humanism broadly in our culture, while our culture's walking away from God and its institutions. So probably the greatest evangelist for atheism today is Richard Dawkins. And what does he teach? I'll pull this right out of one of his books. And now I want you to imagine what this does for the mind and the heart of a young person. Think about this being your reality. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is, at bottom, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. Why are you waking up in the morning? If that's your reality, if that's your perspective on why you're here, there's no good, there's no evil, there's no purpose, just utter indifference. No matter what you do in your life, it's worthless because you're just dancing molecules and one day you're dead and all of your suffering, all of your investment is for nothing because the universe has no meaning at all. And you wonder why this generation suffers depression and anxiety and is hopeless and has suicide epidemics. And that is what we're offering to our children. And I think one of the things that I want to call on us to do in this episode is we need to be more bold about demanding that our society give our children the truth and a perspective that is far more hopeful, that generates a far better outcome in the lives of our kids.
Yeah, because that Richard Dawkins quote isn't much of a motivational speech. That's not one that you're like, let's go get them today, guys. That's like one where it's like, all right, well, I guess I'll just sit here then.
It's terrible. I remember my first year that I became a teacher. It was 2007. I was teaching middle school and high school students. And I remember reading an article that year that said that the suicide rate for teens was the highest it had been in 15 years. That was 2007. And so I walked into the classroom and you see kids that are struggling with all this stuff. And it's like, man, how much worse can it get? Well, then from 2007 to 2015, the teen suicide rate for girls doubled.
Wow.
So it was already the worst it had ever been. And then it doubled. And you get to 2015 and you're like, how much worse can it get? And you can look at the suicide rate numbers from 2015 to 2022 and it sets new records. I mean, I'm sure the numbers of the last couple of years, I don't know what they are. But it just keeps getting worse. So this, whatever we're presenting to our kids, is it's leaving them in utter despair. Like, why wake up? Why continue? Why bother with life? Life is meaningless. It's hopeless. The world's indifferent. Like, if there is no purpose, why take another breath? That's the universe we're presenting to our kids. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. It smells like smoke, and it's leaving them in despair. And here's one of the things that I found as a study on, that when you look at the suicide rates,
okay,
and you study them in light of their religious involvement, you know what you find? That students, young people who never have religious involvement, they never go to church, their suicide rates are the highest.
Wow.
Students that seldom go to church, it comes down. Students that are in church every week or more often, the rates plummet. Why? Can you? I mean, it's kind of self-evident.
Yeah.
You're made in the image of God. You're so valuable that the God of the universe would come and give his life for you, that he ordains your tomorrows, that he's in charge, that he's sovereign, that he's going to work all things together for good, that even if you're in a season of despair and hopelessness, it's not meaningless, that God doesn't waste any of that. Imagine giving that kind of hope and perspective to kids that are walking through hard seasons, and it's no wonder why the suicide rate and mental illnesses plummet when you have children that are exposed to the truth of the gospel.
Yeah, it makes sense that any semi-decent church would leave you with more hope than that Richard Dawkins quote.
Yeah, and here's the problem. Like, you go back to the 60s, and I'm not somebody who's saying we should have Bible studies in every school, because quite frankly, like right now, I'm not sure I would want the public schools teaching the Bible. Hmm. But I do think parents should have the choice to go to a school that teaches their children what they want them to learn, right? But since prayer's been taken out of school, since Bible instruction has been taken out of schools, the literacy rate of anything religious is plummeting. Like, yeah, there have been studies that show that most American adults cannot identify Genesis as the first book of the Bible. That's stunning to me. And I wasn't raised up as a Christian. Only half of American adults can name one of the four Gospels. They did a study that found that half of high school seniors believe that Sodom and Gomorrah were married. So, like, just biblical literacy is gone. And Barna Research Group does these studies that find, like, what percentage of Americans have a biblical worldview. And they ask these questions, like, if you have to answer to the affirmative, because the Bible teaches these. There's eight questions. Do moral absolutes exist? Like, does absolute truth exist? The Bible says, yes, it does. But relativism, that's like, oh, whatever's true for you, whatever floats your boat, you know, my truth, your truth, that's not biblical. Number two, is the Bible the sole source of absolute truth? Yes, it's the only source. Number three, did Jesus live a sinless life? Yeah, otherwise his death would be meaningless. Number four, is God the all-powerful creator who still rules the universe?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Is salvation a gift from God that cannot be earned? Yeah, that's why it's good news. Is Satan real? Does the Bible accurately teach on all matters? And lastly, do Christians have a responsibility to share their faith? Those are things that the Bible teaches. But when you look by generation, the percentage of boomers that have a biblical worldview that answer yes to all of those questions, 10%.
Okay.
Gen X, my generation, 7%. Mm. Millennials, your generation, 6%. And Gen Z, this last generation coming up out of high school, 4%.
Hmm.
So we're losing our biblical mindset. But here's some encouraging news. Does that strike you as weird?
Yeah.
Does that surprise you at all?
I mean, not going around in this life, that makes sense.
Yeah, we're just losing our exposure to it. It's not being taught.
And that the world doesn't believe in the Bible and its truths, which is 4%, isn't shocking to me.
So it's declining. The Bible's influence has been on the decline. But here's some good news that's come out recently. So Gen Z, we're finding that young men coming out of Gen Z are pouring into the church.
Huh.
In fact, men in that generation now outnumber women, which is a strange thing historically, where men are more engaged in church in Gen Z than women. And here's another encouraging thing. This past year, do you know what happened to Bible sales?
They skyrocketed.
They skyrocketed more than 20% in the last year. Now, the Bible is the bestseller every year. They don't even list it on the New York Times because it's a given that it's going to be the bestseller. For it to jump more than 20% in a year is stunning, which shows there's a hunger in our country. People are looking at the truth that they've been told, that there's no purpose, there's no hope, there's no point to life. And this generation's going, there's got to be more to life. Like, there has to be more than this. And so they're coming back looking for truth from the Bible that generations have walked away from. And so what I want to make the case for is if we genuinely love this generation based on science, take that beyond just truth. Science shows that it's the best thing for them.
And I mean, the Bible's all about this. The Bible cares about what one generation tells the next generation. The Psalms, you see, no, pass these on. From generation to generation, I will sing of all your wonders. I'll record your majestic deeds. And even the Shema and things like that. It's like, no, we need to train up these children. It's not just like, hey, you had a kid, put them over here and just let them survive on their own. No, we do it in every other facet of life too. We have plans for them scholastically. We have plans for them, you know, and what they want to do with their lives. And all of a sudden we're like, well, religion, I'm not going to have a plan for that. But the Bible's coming to us saying, no, we need to train up these children the way they should go. That the Bible is not just going to wander its way into their lives, but we as parents and adults, for their good, need to teach them about it.
Yeah, and it's not just inconsequential stuff. Like the Bible comes and says there are massive life and death things associated with that. Like we've talked about, this really is life and death. Deuteronomy comes in chapter 32 and says, these are not just idle words for you. They are your life. And so what we're going to talk about for the remainder of this episode is exactly that. Like this really does improve the quality of life, and the absence of religious instruction brings about destruction for kids. And so like, first and foremost, like this is a responsibility that belongs to the parents. It's not the governments. It's not the schools. This is our job as parents to raise up our kids. And particularly, 70% of our audience who watch this show are men. Did you know that?
I saw
that the other day when I was looking through analytics. And so like, I want to call out dads because your role in this is unique. There's something about the dad in the home that has a far greater weight and whether or not future generations of children follow the Lord. So let's look at some studies. One of them was commissioned by Breakpoint, and it found that 56% of children who have a close relationship with their dads will also share his religious commitment, while 36% of children with a weak father-child relationship will embrace their father's faith. So it's like, if I'm living for the Lord and I have a great relationship with my kids, it greatly increases the likelihood that my kids are going to follow after my faith because they see it. They see me living it out. They see how much it means to me. They see the Lord at work in me. They get to hear his truths that surrounds me wherever I go. And they love me and they see what it does for me. And so they're more likely to follow. There was a study done in Europe. This one blows me away. So like, hopefully we can show this table. But there was a study that showed when a father regularly attends church and the mother regularly attends church, 32.8% of the time, the kid will regularly attend. Now, when the father regularly attends church and the mother irregularly attends church, the number jumps to 37%.
I didn't see that one coming.
Which is weird. Yeah. Now, here's the one that's mind-boggling. It says, when the father regularly attends church and the mother doesn't practice at all, it's the highest on record.
Wow.
That jumps to 44.2%. And I was thinking about this, like, why would that be? You would think you would want both of them firing on all cylinders. But if the dad is utterly committed to church, he's utterly committed to spiritual disciplines and following after the Lord, and the mother's totally disengaged, when the kid sees that it means that much to the dad, it goes up. Where if you look at when the mother is practicing and the man is not, the father's not, the percentages plummet. They're like between 1.5 and 4.6%. So who has the greater weight in what the children are going to do by every study that they've done on this?
The fathers.
The fathers, by a lot. There's a 2015 study that found that 68% of children who have a close relationship with their father, which is important, will carry on their father's level of religious participation. And study after study finds that same thing. And so why is it important? And this is where we're going to get into some of the science on this. Why is that important? Because the benefits that come to a child who has a relationship with the Lord, who's spiritually engaged, there are so many. And science, the more studies that are done, the more they're like, this is pretty compelling. So Harvard's T.H. Chan Center did a study on this, and they found that religious upbringing is linked to better health and well-being during early adulthood. Like, you're going to be better adjusted to go out and be independent, to go to college, to deal with high school. Like, they're going to be better off. And USA Today reported on one study. I just want to read this because it's like, okay, if you're a parent, and you get to choose what to give your kid. Just listen to this. College students who participate in religious activities are more likely to have better emotional and mental health than students with no religious involvement. It's not even close. In addition, students who don't participate in religious activities are more than twice as likely to report poor mental health or depression than students who attend religious services frequently. Like, you and I are both in ministry. We both deal with a wide variety of kids. As a teacher, I've dealt with a wide variety of kids. It's not a 100% rule, but I can tell you that children that have a great relationship with the Lord, they're set apart. More often than not, they get the better grades. They're better behaved. They're better adjusted. They're not falling into depression. They're not falling into bad behaviors and crises in their life. Whereas the kids that don't have that, you notice from seeing such a large sample size that in personal experience, this is absolutely true. You're in youth ministry. You see this, right?
Yeah.
The kids that are striving after the Lord, that come, that are hungry, that are just absorbing this, what are they like?
Better off in a lot of ways.
All across the board. So UNC Chapel Hill, here's from University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Listen to this. Their researchers discovered that more religious high school students are less likely to drink, battle addictions, face depression, commit suicide, engage in violence, steal, trespass, or suffer disciplinary actions. They were more likely, now hear this, and imagine this being applied to our culture today. They were more likely to have a positive outlook on life, to receive higher grades, to exercise, to participate in extracurricular activities, to graduate high school, and to find stable relationships with their peers. So, like, across the board, like, if you were writing, like, this is what I would like for my child, that is the fruit of giving them a religious upbringing. And now all of the social sciences are coming along saying, yes, there is something to that.
Yeah, and if you ask any parent and you left out religious, you know, the religious stuff, mm-hmm. and you just said, whatever, fill in the blank, whatever you want. And you said, if you do this, your kid will be more likely to be like this. They'll do anything. But all of a sudden you throw religion there, and it's like, whoa, I don't know about that.
Yeah, because our culture has trained us that, oh, well, that's, you know, that's a personal. No, like the Bible comes to us and says, hey, Christians, it is incumbent on you to raise your kids up to know the character of God, to know how loved they are, to know what his designs are. Because by the way, if he created the world and he's given us this book that says this is how you are to live in my world to find a blessing, guess what? That kind of life is going to lead you to blessing. And that's exactly what the social sciences say, even down to their performance in school. Do you know when you look at how often a child goes to church, it's directly related to how frequently they repeat a grade?
Huh.
So kids that go weekly or more than weekly are half as likely as kids who seldom or never go to church to repeat a grade.
Wow.
That's fascinating to me. When you look at their academic performances, the kids that have higher church attendance are almost 20% higher in their academic scores. That's phenomenal. Like you just said, if I came to a school and I said, I've got a trick that can raise your kids' academic performance by 20%.
Whatever it takes.
We're buying whatever curriculum that is. Like, get us in here. Like, we'll replace our tutors. And it's purely whether or not the kid is religiously engaged or not. The same thing is true regardless of income. So here's something that I love. Whenever they do, and I'm a former headmaster, I've been involved in schools, so I know all this stuff. Like, one of the things when you talk about academics, people will be like, well, that's income, you know, related. If they come from poorer neighborhoods, they perform worse because they don't have the resources, where in the really wealthy neighborhoods, they have the better schools, so they're going to perform better. Do you know that kids, they did the study in 2003 where they found that kids that have active religious participation who come from poverty outperform the wealthy kids. Religious, there's a direct, for both wealthy and poor kids, there's a direct correlation that the more you go to church, the better you do academically, and the poor kids that are religious outperform the wealthy kids. So what's going on there? I mean, you see a direct correlation for GPA when it comes to English and math. Kids that attend more than weekly have the highest. The next one is those that attend more than monthly. Then the next one, less than monthly. And the ones that never have the very lowest scores in GPA. Why is that? Students that receive mostly A's in school by religious practice, direct correlation there. Parents contacted for behavioral problems, direct correlation there that you see. And in our next episode, we're going to talk about the health benefits that actually reach your physiology that are undeniable, that all of the med schools are now starting to notice. You see, even in prisons, the prisoners that have religious instruction, what happens? Their recidivism rate is dramatically lower than those that come out of prison with just, you know, secular training, right? When you believe that you're made for a purpose, when you believe that you bear the image of God and that your life is valuable, and even when you mess up, like, it's not hopeless that there's a God who loves you, who came into this world to die for you on a cross, who sees you as that valuable, and he calls you to a mission that is eternally meaningful. It's not what Dawkins says, where it's blind, pitiless indifference with no meaning. No, you have eternal significance, and so use your life for great things. When you put that message in front of prisoners, the farthest outcast, the youngest of children, it dramatically impacts them and makes them better suited for life, and it makes them more prosperous in everything they do. And we now live in a culture that says we shouldn't impose this on anyone.
Yeah.
So let's give them the secular, hopeless thing that's driving them to despair, depression, and suicide. And Americans need to recapture this idea, this truth, that there's a God who designed our world. And he's given us a roadmap of how to find blessing. And it's not loving to withhold that from our children. We need to be more engaged in showing our kids who God is. And across the board, not just for eternal life, not just for their souls and their spiritual health, but in every manifestation of their life, there's blessing to follow.
I mean, I think with all of this, I mean, two things rise to the surface. One is, if you are a dad watching our show, I mean, follow the data. Get your kids in church, you know, bring them along. Show them what a loving father looks like. But also, man, as a father, I know mistakes happen. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, hey, I didn't do this to my kids. Is this all my fault? Is this why they look like this or act like that? And just forgive yourself first off, because the Lord forgives you. Like, seek out that father who loves those children far more than you could ever love them, and know that they're safe in his hands.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things as a father to live out in front of your kids. Like, I make mistakes all the time. My kids would be glad to tell you, probably. But when you go to them and you recognize, and you allow yourself to go to them and say, you know what, I messed up and I'm sorry. When they see the power of grace and forgiveness working through you, that's exactly the kind of thing that draws them to follow the Lord. When they see you living a life of freedom where my worth is not in how good I am, it's not in my own esteem, it's not what I'm chasing, but it was my value was set at the cross, and I can live in that freedom, and I don't always have to be right anymore because my value is not dependent upon my performance or my circumstances. When kids see you live in that kind of freedom and humility, it's contagious. And this generation, the good thing is, this generation is so hungry for something different than what the world has been offering, because the world has been offering poison. And we've seen how that's played out in the generations that have come up in the last few decades. They're hungry for something better. So, like you said, dads, men's, everyone within the sound of my voice, give them this kind of hope. Lift it in front of them. Show them how good our God is and how wonderful and meaningful life can be, even in the messy parts. All right, so I think we'll end it there for this episode. And I want to encourage you, join us next time as we go into looking at the physiological impacts of what faith does. Turns out it has some incredible implications for your physical health as well. God bless.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. We'd love you to check out some other content we have. You can find that at sunlitstudios.com.